الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue our readings in the work of the great Imam Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى which is entitled فضائل القرآن the virtues of the Quran the virtues of the Quran we have come to The chapter, the author, he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى باب ما جاء في اتباع المتشابه باب ما جاء في اتباع المتشابه The chapter on what has come about following the unclear text. About following the unclear text. It is known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has described the verses of His book with a number of different noble and lofty descriptions, with a number of different noble and lofty descriptions. And from that, there are ayat that are considered muhkama, and there are ayat that are considered mutashabiha. But just to summarize before discussing this issue, the Quran, from a general aspect, all of it is muhkam, any precise and exact and beautiful and eloquent and perfect. And at the peak of perfection and perfect at the peak of perfection. Muhkama ayatun muhkamat. The Quran, all of it. Uhkimat ayatuhu. All of the verses are perfect and precise and beautiful and at the peak of eloquence and perfection. And also the Quran in entirety as well from the general aspect is considered mutashabih. Ayat mutashabihat. The Quran yani mutashabih. Yani yushbihu ba'duhu ba'dan. في الإتقان والجودة والبلاغة والفصاحة meaning that it's all متشابه meaning that the Quran its verses resembled each other in beauty and eloquence and perfection and how they are mastered in the most eloquent and beneficial manner so from this aspect the Quran in entirety is محكم and متشابه is muhkam, yani from its perfection and precision, and mutashabih from the fact that each verse from the noble book resembles the other in its perfection and its eloquence and beauty. In its perfection and eloquence and beauty. This is the general understanding of al-muhkam wa mutashabih. There's another understanding that is more specific, and this is what the author is referring to here. Rahimahullah ta'ala, and this is the issue of the muhkam and the mutashabih with regards to the meanings that these verses carry and indicate and the rulings that are derived from them. And the rulings that are derived from them. So from this aspect, there are verses that are considered muhkamah, meaning that they're clear in their meaning and they only carry one understanding. Verses that are muhkamah, any they're clear and direct in their meaning and they only carry one understanding. They could not be misinterpreted nor misunderstood because of how clear they are. And how they indicate only one meaning, like قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. For example, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ. For example, these verses are clear to that which they indicate, and the ruling that is derived from there, And much of the Quran is in this manner, muhkama. Yani the verses are very clear. But also there are other verses that are considered mutashabihat. And these are verses in contrast to the muhkamat, ayat muhkamat. These are the verses that carry more than one meaning. And in these verses here, they carry more than one meaning. They could be understood in the same light as those other verses that are muhkamah, or could also possibly carry another meaning because of the context and the words that are used in this particular verse. So this is the issue here. The author, he's saying, بَابٌ مَا جَاءَ فِي اتِّبَاعِ الْمُتَشَابِهِ That which has come, the chapter on what has come about following the unclear text. And he's taking them as a foundation and following them. And in this manner, attempting to misinterpret the meaning and to explain these texts according to one's desires. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So what has come about this month, meaning from the great warning and the threat of those who fall in that way and a warning from them and from their way. A warning from them and from their way, and likewise a clarification of the proper manner of understanding the Book of Allah and seeking knowledge and guidance from the Book of Allah and the methodology of those who are upright and truthful in their creed and belief and their methodology and way. In contrast to those who have deviation in their heart and who are not upright in creed and belief nor in their methodology and their way. So the author, he says, وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ And Aisha رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عنها وفي الصحيح يعني في الصحيحين سن بخاري ومسلم from the حديث عائشة رضي الله عنها أنها قالت that she said تلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هذه الآية the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم he recited this verse هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء التأويل إلى قوله until the statement of Allah the Most High أولو الألباب يعني meaning until the end of this verse. So the meaning of this verse is it is he who has sent down to you O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the book. In it are verses that are entirely clear. In it are verses that are entirely clear. هو الذي يعني Allah عزّ وجل. هو الذي أنزل عليك أيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is He, meaning Allah, who has revealed to you, sent down to you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم الكتاب, the book, meaning this Quran. فيه آيات محكمات. In it are verses that are entirely clear. آيات محكمات. In it are verses that are entirely clear, meaning verses that could only be understood in one light. Because of the clarity, the meaning of those verses are understood directly and they do not carry any other meanings. They're direct in their dilala, and they're direct in their understanding and meaning. Hunna umul kitab. These clear verses here, they are the foundation of the book, any the base of the book, the foundation of the book. And then he said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa ukharu mutashabihat, and others that are not entirely clear. وأخر يعني وآيات أخر متشابهات. There are other verses that are not entirely clear. That are not entirely clear. As for those, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. And as for those who have deviation in their heart, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. Then they follow that which is unclear from those verses. Then they follow that which is not entirely clear. ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ التَّأْوِيلِ. Seeking trials and tribulations and searching for its hidden meanings and searching for its hidden meanings or to misinterpret the meanings according to their whims and their desires with no reins and with no limits with no reins and no limits and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he continues فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُمْ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ التَّأْوِيلِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ And no one knows its true reality except for Allah. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ And as for those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, then they say, we believe in all of it. All of it is from my Lord. All of it is from our Lord. And no one will receive admonition except for the men of understanding. That as for وَرَاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ That's for those who are firmly grounded in knowledge. يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا And as for those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, then they say we believe in it. Any in entirety, all of it. Any of the clear and the unclear verses. And we follow that which is clear and understand those unclear verses in the light of the clear verses and for those who have رُسُوخ And rusukh fil ilm, those who are grounded in knowledge, all of the verses become clear in this manner. All of the verses become clear in this manner. They say all of it is from our Lord. We believe in all of it. وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ And no one will remind and take admonition and reflect and benefit except for people of sound understanding. The narration continues. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited this verse. She says, فَقَالَتْ Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah. Now he says, صلى الله عليه وسلم, advising his noble wife, فإذا رأيت الذين يتبعون ما تشابه منه فأولئك الذين سمى الله فاحذروهم فاحذروهم. So the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, after reciting this verse, he said, and to his wife directly, and likewise this is for the ummah after him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you see those who follow from the Quran that which is not entirely clear, then they are those whom Allah has named in this verse. And He named them, meaning that they are those who have deviation in their heart. Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in His book that these people here, they are the ones who have deviation in their heart. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ So you must beware of them. So you must be cautious from them. And he take precaution from them. Do not listen to them. Do not sit in their gatherings. Do not listen to their lectures. Do not take notes in their classes. Do not benefit from their clips or their audios. Do not have any relation with them whatsoever. Do not take knowledge from the likes of these people. This is a clarification of the way of the deviant. Those who have deviation in their heart, they have a methodology in how they attempt. They have a methodology in how they attempt to establish their deviation and how they use the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah, the authentic evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah to establish their falsehood, to attempt to establish their falsehood. This is their methodology and their way. And their methodology is a foul and lowly methodology and a despicable way. So a believer, he should be cautious from that and beware of that. He should be aware of that and beware from that and be cautious from that and from those people and their way. From those people and their way. A person, he can identify the people of falsehood in general, and likewise would have the ability, bi'idnillahi ta'ala, if he learns the fundamentals of his religion, to refute any doubt and misconception in a general manner with this noble verse and this narration here. With this noble verse and this narration here. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 774. From the great scholars of hadith and the great scholars of tafsir and the great scholars of history likewise, and the great scholars of fiqh and the Arabic language as well, from those rounded scholars, from the ulama of the sunnah. He mentions some very beneficial commentary and explanation of these verses. I have summarized some benefits from his tafsir, rahimahullah ta'ala, and we take them in the summarized manner. So he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, yukhbiru ta'ala anna fil qur'ani ayatin muhkamat hunna umul kitab. That Allah, the Most High, is informing us that in the Quran, there are ayat muhkamat, that there are these clear verses that carry only one meaning, that could only be understood in one light. They're not ambiguous whatsoever. They're very clear in what is intended by the meaning of these verses. Hunna umul kitab. Hunna umul kitab. They are the foundation of the book. He said, ay bayinatun wadihat. بَيِّنَاتٌ وَاضِحَاتِ الدِّلَالَةِ لَا الْتِبَاسَ فِيهَا عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ. Meaning that these verses, they are clear. That which they indicate and mean are very clear. They're not unclear or ambiguous to anyone whatsoever. And anyone could read these verses and realize the meaning and understand what is intended. Understand what is intended. هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. This is very important. Very important. These clear verses, they're the foundation of the book. The foundation of something, أَصْلُ الشَّيْءِ يَنِي مَا يُبْنَى عَلَيْهِ غَيْرُهُ. The foundation of something is that which the rest of that thing is based upon and built upon. So the foundation of a building is that which the rest of the building stands upon. And the foundation of knowledge, similarly likewise. And you know, the rest of the knowledge returns back to here. The rest of the knowledge returns back to here. So these clear verses, they're the foundation of the book. Hunna umul kitab. So all of the rest of the knowledge, all of the rest of the ayat and the rulings that are derived from there, and the benefits and the understanding and the great wisdom that are derived from there. And likewise, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all of the religious texts that are authentic and proper and correct, there are issues that are clear and there are issues that could be understood in more than one light. Those issues that are clear, those verses that are clear, those narrations that are clear, those texts that are clear, hum umul kitab. They're the foundation of the book. Ad-deen, the foundation of the religion. As-sunnah, the foundation of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, فَمِنْ آيَاتِ وَمِنْهَا, and from the verses as well, وَمِنْهَا آيَاتٌ أُخَرْ فِيهَا اشْتِبَاهٌ فِي الدِّلَالَةِ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ أَوْ بَعْضِهِمْ. And from the verses in the Quran, there are ayat ukhar. There are other verses. And also from the verses, there are other verses that have in them ishtibah. Any meaning they're not clear. They're not direct into what is intended. Meaning that could be understood in more than one light. Ishtibahun fit dilala, which is that which they indicate or mean, or what is intended by way of them is not clear, meaning they carry more than one meaning. They could be understood or interpreted in more than one light, in more than one light. And they're unclear in this manner. They're unclear in this manner with regards to many of the people or some of them, meaning they're not unclear to everyone. They're only unclear to those people who do not know the proper methodology and are not firmly grounded in knowledge. As for those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, then they're clear for them because they have the proper methodology and how to understand them. And this is the point here. So Ibn Kathir, he says, rahimahullah, فَمَنْ رَدَّ مَشْتَبَهَ عَلَيْهِ إِلَى الْوَاضِحِ مِنْهُ وَحَكَّمَ مُحْكَمَهُ عَلَى مُتَشَابِهِهِ عِنْدَهُ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَى. عَلَى مُتَشَابِهِهِ عِنْدَهُ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَى. So whoever refers that which is unclear back to that which is clear And he makes that which is clear and direct from those verses a judge over that which is unclear, then he will be guided. Then he will be guided. So there are verses that are clear in their understanding and meaning, and they're direct to that which is intended. These verses here, they're the foundation of the book. Then there are other verses that are not clear in that manner. Rather, they could be understood in more than one light. So the means of guidance and understanding them properly is to refer these verses that are unclear back to these verses that are clear, to understand them according to that which has proceeded from the clear verses that are direct in the meaning to these foundations and fundamentals. In this manner, فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَى. This person, he will be guided. He will be guided. He said, وَمَنْ عَكَّسَ and عَكَّسَ. And whoever does the opposite, then he will be misguided. Then he will be misguided. I mean, this is the way for misguidance. And this is the way of the misguided. And those who have deviation in their heart, this is their methodology in seeking knowledge and in teaching and clarifying their creed and belief. That they'll use the verses that are unclear and neglect the verses that are clear, and they ought to interpret those unclear verses contrary to those clear verses in order to establish the falsehood that they're upon. In order to establish the falsehood that they are upon. It crossed my mind now. Wallahu a'lam, this verse here, muhkama. This verse here, muhkama, min ahkam ma yakun. From the clearest of verses, this verse here. If you ponder and reflect over these meanings, if you ponder any muhkama, is very, very clear on how to understand the proper way to study the Quran and to have guidance and to benefit from the Quran, and likewise the way to deviate and the ways of deviation and those who have deviated and those who have deviated. So Ibn Kathir, he says now, rahimahullah, what he had that qala for this reason here, qala subhanahu wa ta'ala, hunna umul kitab, hunna umul kitab. These clear verses, they are the foundation of the book. The Arab, they call something an which literally means mother, to refer to something that is a foundation. Because the is something that the child came from and is always coming back to. The child, so long as he's a child, he will always return back to his mother, and he's proceeding from his mother. So that's considered the mother of something, the foundation of that. The foundation of that. Even in the English language, there is a simple usage, there's a similar usage and understanding. The mother of something, the mother of lands, the mother of cities, the mother of the book. And the understanding is very similar, meaning the foundation and the fundamentals of that affair, that which the rest of that issue proceed from and is based upon. So these clear verses, al-ayat al-muhkamat, hunna umul kitab, hunna umul kitab, they are the foundation of the book. He said, rahimahullah, ay asluhu, alladhi yurja'u ilayhi inda al-ishtibah, meaning they are, these verses here, its foundation, that which is returned to whenever things become unclear. Whenever anything in the religious affairs become unclear, a person, he's not able to understand what is intended from this particular verse or this particular narration, the methodology for that issue to become clear is to return it back to the verses on and hadith, to return it back to the sound Islamic texts on that subject that are clear and not unclear, that are clear and not unclear. In this manner, a person, he will understand what is intended. In this manner, a person who will understand what is intended. So Ibn Kathir, he says, وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٍ, and there are other verses that are unclear, that are unclear. And again, to emphasize what is intended by unclear, meaning that, it carries more than one meaning. It's not direct in its meaning. You could read it and understand it according to the context and also the structure of the sentence and the words that are used there. Because of the richness and the beauty of the Arabic language, it could be understood in more than one manner. It could be understood in more than one manner. So now it's unclear which one of these meanings is intended. Sometimes a verse, maybe it could be understood in two lights, maybe three, maybe more, and the likes like this. So which one of them is intended? When Allah, he revealed these verses, which one of these is attended whenever Allah, he revealed these verses? وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٍ, he says, أي تَحْتَمِلُ دِلَالَتُهَا مُوَافَقَةَ الْمُحْكَمِ وَقَدْ تَحْتَمِلُ شَيْئًا آخَرَ مِنْ حَيْثُ اللَّفْظُ وَالتَّرْكِيبُ لَا مِنْ حَيْثُ الْمُرَادِ. He mentions such a wonderful benefit here, rahimahullah ta'ala, meaning that these verses are unclear, meaning that that which these verses indicate and what the meanings that they carry, it carries a meaning that could be in accordance with the verses that are clear and could possibly carry another meaning, something else. something else, that which its term and the context could mean, but it's not intended. But it's not intended. How do we know it's not intended? Because it's not in accordance with the clear verses. So to understand which one of these meanings is intended, we must return it back to the clear verses. Because this is the proper understanding. The Quran does not contradict itself. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِي اخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرًا. So this is how they establish contradictions and how they will establish falsehood, that there are many other evidences in the book and in the sunnah contrary to their understanding, by interpreting these verses contrary to the clear verses. So to know what is intended from these unclear verses, or these verses that carry more than one meaning, or these texts that carry more than one meaning, is to refer them back to the clear verses on that same subject, and now they all become clear. Now they all become clear in this manner. Now they all become clear in this manner. So he's saying here that these verses that are unclear, the mutashabihat, they carry a meaning that is in accordance with the clear verses. And also they might carry another meaning or other meanings as well. But yani, that is only by way of its context or by way of the meaning, the linguistic meanings, for example, of those words and the likes like this. But though that those other meanings are not intended. Those other meanings are not intended. So the intended meaning is the meaning that is in accordance with the clear text. This is how you know. This is how we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had intended from these affairs. And there's great wisdom in this manner. There are verses which are the Umul Kitab, the foundation of the book, meaning the majority of the verses are very clear. But likewise, there are other verses that are unclear. And this is a test. This is a test. A test for the people in general. And likewise, a test for the people of knowledge specifically, that even some of them will not be able to reach a level that they understand. So that a person, he will always realize his need for Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he will submit and surrender. He will submit and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once one sees the truth of those clear verses and the beauty of those clear verses and what they mean from clarifying the pure truth and the upright and correct deen, after that there are other verses that are not entirely clear that are a test for the people. Will they surrender and submit? Will they surrender and submit? Or will they follow their desires and whims? Will they follow their desires and whims? So the evidence is established with these clear verses. Then there are other verses that could be interpreted in another manner. This is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to try the people. Will they surrender with their minds and say that, and say, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ يَقُولُونَ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. And those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they say all of them is from our Lord. All of these verses are from our Lord. So one will be tried in this manner and tried in his knowledge and his understanding in this way. And by having issues that may not be entirely clear, that one, he will just have to surrender to Allah with regards to and submit to him. And submit to him. And after establishing those clear verses and understanding the truth from there. And then likewise, another benefit is to clarify the people. Some of them, they will reach a level and they will be favored in a great manner, that they will be able to understand them clearly. They will be able to understand them clearly. And this portion of the verse is recited in more than one, manner. Yani the waqf. Yani wa rasikhuna fil ilmi wa ma ya'lamu ta'wilahu illa Allah. The majority of the scholars mentioned that there is a waqf here. There is a waqf here. Yani you have to stop here. Wa la ya'lamu ta'wilahu illa Allah. And no one knows its interpretation or its true meaning except for Allah. And the origin is to stop here. Then you say, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ مُبْتَدَ وَخَبَرَ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يعني وَالرَّاسِخُونَ is the مُبْتَدَ يَقُولُونَ رَبِّ يَقُولُونَ. This is the khabar. But there's another recitation to read it. وَلَا يَعْلَمُ تَعْوِيلَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. And you stop here. And in this understanding, it's mentioned that Allah, he knows the interpretation, and likewise the rasikhun. And likewise, the rasikhun. It's been narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum, he said, "Ana min al-rasikhina fi al-ilm, adadina ya'lamuna ta'wilahu." I am from those firmly grounded in knowledge who know its interpretation. And so the word ta'wil, it has a number of meanings, and from that is interpretation. The interpretation, any of the proper meaning, what is intended. And another meaning of that word is the true reality of something. The true reality of something. So what is intended by the word, وَلَا يَعْلَمُ تَعْوِيلَهُ, no one knows its ta'wil. Ta'wilahu, and if what is intended here, the true understanding and final outcome, then one must stop, illallah. No one knows that except for Allah. As for the interpretation, the intended meaning, then Allah, He knows that. And likewise, those who are firmly grounded in knowledge. Likewise, those who are firmly grounded in knowledge. So this is of utmost importance to realize and understand this methodology. So those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they understand that which is unclear by referring them back to that which is clear. And they believe in all of them. And this is the way of Ahl Sunnah. So Ibn Kathir, he says, Rahimahullah, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ As for those people who have deviation in their heart. As for those people who have deviation in their heart, أي ضَلَالٌ وَخُرُوجٌ عَنِ الْحَقِّ إِلَى الْبَاطِلِ Meaning they have ضَلَالٌ, they have misguidance in their heart. Meaning there are people who ascribe to Islam and they have deviation in their heart. They have ضَلَالَ and زَيْغٌ in their heart. They have their hearts are inclined to falsehood, and their hearts are inclined to deviation, and their hearts are overcome by desires and whims and doubts and misconceptions. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ ضَلَالٌ وَخُرُوجٌ عَنِ الْحَقِّ إِلَى الْبَاطِلِ Meaning that there's misguidance and deviation in the heart, and they prefer and are inclined to leave the truth and follow falsehood. To leave the truth and follow falsehood. So the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ So therefore these people that hear, they follow that which is unclear from it. Ibn Kathir, he says, Rahimahullah, أي إِنَّمَا يَأْخُذُونَ مِنْهُ بِالْمُتَشَابِهِ الَّذِي يُمْكِنُهُمْ أَنْ يُحَرِّفُوهُ إِلَى مَقَاصِدِهِمْ الْفَاسِدَةِ Meaning that they only accept or they only follow, they only take from the Quran those unclear verses that it's possible for them to misinterpret. It's possible for them to misinterpret and to change the meaning according to their corrupted desires and intentions. According to their corrupted desires and intentions. The only way to establish their falsehood is to go to these unclear verses and to neglect the clear verses. And because these verses carry more than one meaning. And from here, they are able to attempt to establish their falsehood. As for if they were to return back to the clear verses, they would not be able to do that because the clear verses are contrary. Because the clear verses are contrary to that which they are trying to interpret and clarify. Contrary to that which they are trying to interpret and clarify. It says, إِنَّمَا يَأْخُذُونَ مِنْهُ بِالْمُتَشَابِهِ الَّذِي يُمْكِنُهُمْ أَنْ يُحَرِّفُوهُ إِلَى مَقَاصِدِهِمُ الْفَاسِدَةِ وَيُنْزِلُوهُ عَلَيْهَا لِاحْتِمَالِ لَفْظِهِ لِمَا يَصْرِفُونَهُ That they only take those verses from the book that are unclear, that it's possible for them to misinterpret and to change the meaning and to be in accordance with their corrupt intentions and to apply it in this manner because of the fact that the actual words or these terms in the verse carry that meaning that which they're trying to redirect, that which they're trying to establish. فَأَمَّا الْمُحْكَمْ فَلَا نَصِيبَ لَهُمْ فِيهِ لِأَنَّهُ دَامِغٌ لَهُمْ وَحُجَّةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ As for that which is clear from those verses, that which is clear from the Quran, they have no portion or share in that because it will clearly refute them and is a proof against them. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ So before this reason, Allah, He mentioned about them that they pursue this manner and they follow this way, ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ in search for trials, in search for trials and tribulations. Ibn Kathir, he says, أي الإضلال الإضلال لأتباعهم إيهاما لهم أنهم يحتاجون على بدعتهم بالقرآن وهذا حجة عليهم لا لهم He said yani, that they're seeking fitna, they're seeking trials and tribulations in this manner of interpreting these verses. He says, meaning they're seeking misguidance to mislead and to misguide their followers and to try to make it seem in delusion as if they're using the Quran as evidence, to make it seem as if they're using the Quran as an evidence, and in reality, it is a proof against them and not for them. It is a proof against them and not for them. A person, he could easily, the one who is firmly grounded in knowledge, take that issue and the verse that he's using as an evidence against him by referring it back to those other clear verses and the other clear ahadith, and the person, in this manner, he will be silent. He will be silent. He will not be able to establish his falsehood after this. He will not be able to establish his falsehood after this. As for those who are not firmly grounded in knowledge, and they do not have fundamentals in the religion, and they are not strong in aqidah, and they're not strong in manhaj and methodology, then these are the ones whom these people are able to delude and to confuse and to misguide. To delude and to confuse and misguide. As for the one who has foundations in his religion and understands the basics of his deen in creed first and foremost in tawheed, and likewise in his methodology, in the way that he abides in dealing with these issues, then it will be easy for him to see in general that this is a person of falsehood. That this is a person of falsehood, even if he's not able to refute him specifically and clarify his falsehood directly, he will be able to repel those doubts and to remain firm upon his religion and not be affected by the misconceptions and the whims of the likes of these people. By having these fundamentals here in this manner. This is like a means of fortifying one's faith and protecting one's deen, because knowledge is a weapon. But before it can be a weapon, a person has to fortify himself. So likewise, it's a shield. It's a means of protection. Al-ilmu nurun yahrusuka. Al-ilmu nurun wa huwa yahrusuka. Knowledge is light and it protects you. Knowledge is a means of protection from misguidance and deviation by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. With regards to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِ, and seeking its interpretation, or in reality, seeking to misinterpret those verses, Ibn Kathir, he says, أي تَحْرِيفِهِ عَلَى مَا يُرِيدُونَ, meaning seeking its interpretation, meaning to misinterpret the verses according to what they like. According to what they like and what they want. So here we see that this is the methodology. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ, as for those who have zayg, deviation, misguidance, foul intentions, corrupt intentions in their hearts, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ, what do? They follow this way. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ, they follow this way. So it's understood, مفهوم مخالفة أو دليل الخطاب, it's understood in the contrary that one he could possibly say, ويمكن أن يقال فأما الذين في قلوبهم استقامة. This is understood. What do they do? فيتبعون المحكم منه ويردون المتشابهات إلى المحكمات As for those who have استقامة in their heart, as for those who have purity in their heart, as for those who have goodness in their heart, then what do? Huh? They follow the clear verses and they refer the unclear verses back to the clear verses. And this is the opposite understanding. If those, and this is what is intended likewise, and Allah, He referred to this issue here. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِسْتِقَامَةً, in this meaning here, as for those who have istiqama in their heart, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ الْمُحْكَمَةً مِنْهُ وَيُرُدُّونَ الْمُتَشَابِهَاتِ إِلَى الْمُحْكَمَاتِ. And this is understood in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَوَرَاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا يَقُولُونَ آمَنَا بِهِ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا عَامَنَا. We say we believe in all of it. We follow all of it. And we follow all of it in this proper manner, not the way of those who have deviation in their heart, rather the ways of those who have piety in their heart, and those who have fear of Allah in their heart, and those who have they have guidance and light in their heart, and then they follow that which is clear from those verses, and they refer that which is unclear from the verses back to that which is clear. So in a number of classes in this particular work, in this great and beneficial book by Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, we have discussed this issue directly and indirectly, the manner of seeking knowledge and studying the Quran, and what is intended from that, and who is the role model in that, and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how he cultivated and raised his noble companions radiyallahu anhum, by teaching them 10 verses at a time. And he would teach them the understanding of those verses, the recitation of those verses, and the understanding and the meanings of those verses, until they said, فَتَعَلَمْنَا الْعِلْمَ وَالْعَمَلَ مَعًا, until they said that we learn knowledge and application at the same time. And we have seen that التِلَاوَ حَقَّ تِلَاوَ, the true recitation is to recite it. It is to learn how to recite the book of Allah to the best of one's ability, following the rules of at-tajweed, which have been transmitted to us, and to memorize the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to ponder and reflect over the meanings, and to follow them in application, and to follow the Quran in application. This is the true recitation. الَّذِينَ أَعْتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أَيْ يَتَّبِعُونَهُ حَقَّ اتِّبَاعِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ So the proper manner of studying the Quran is by learning the religion along with the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's been connected by Ibn Majah. We mentioned this narration a number of times, and it's very beneficial to ponder and reflect over with regards to seeking knowledge. The narration which is connected by Ibn Majah from the hadith of Junub ibn Abdullah al-Bajri radiyallahu anhu, he says, kunna ma'a an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa nahnu fityanun hazawira, that we used to be with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa nahnu fityanun hazawira, we are young men, we're young men, yani fityan, young boys, young men, hazawira, yani close to the age of puberty, meaning there are young boys and young men and the likes, maybe some under the age of puberty briefly, or others over the age of puberty, so on and so forth. They're young boys and young men with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ash-Shahid, what did he say? فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْإِيمَانَ قَبَلَ أَن نَتَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ, and we learned al-Iman before we learned the Quran. We learned al-Iman, al-Imanu billah, to believe in Allah, to believe in his tawheed, bi-rububiyyatihi, wa-uluhiyyatihi, wa-asma'i wa-sifatihi, wa-azamatihi, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa-haqquhu yu'bada wahdah, wa-yudhalla wa-yukhda' lahu wahdah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his right to be surrendered and submitted to absolutely alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of his perfection in his beautiful names and his lofty attributes, no deficiency whatsoever. He's alive and never dies. Al-hayy alladhi la yamut, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-awwal alladhi laysa qablahu shay, wal-akhir alladhi laysa ba'dahu shay. They learned about Allah Azza wa Jal and his beautiful attributes of perfection, his beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection, and to surrender to him, and to surrender to him, and to believe in the angels, and to believe in the angels, and to believe in the books and the revelation, and that the Quran is the final revelation and the seal of the legislation and law, and likewise to believe in the prophets and messengers, and that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seal of all prophets, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to believe in the last day, to believe in the Jannah and the Nar, to believe in the resurrection, to rise, that the people are going to die, all of them, and rise from the graves, bare with no clothing, uncircumcised, and they're going to be taken to account in front of their Lord for every last thing that they said and they did. This is what was cultivated in their hearts, and the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, his authority and command. فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْإِيمَانَ قَبَلَ أَن نَتَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ, because in the Quran, this is all established. The pillars of faith are established in the Quran, and likewise, the pillars of al-Islam, they're established in the Quran. So the one who learns the true and proper creed and understands details with regards to the pillars of faith, whenever he reads the Quran, these ideas and these pillars will stand out, and he will be able to reflect and benefit. He'll be able to reflect and benefit. But if he has a misunderstanding with regards to these pillars, whenever he reads the book of Allah, he will misunderstand possibly, and he will not be able to reflect, nor will he be able to benefit, and maybe he will go astray. So the methodology is to learn faith, to learn iman, to learn about the fundamentals of the deen until the creed is upright and pure and good. And then learning along with that the Quran, now a person, he will be able to benefit. So he said, radiallahu anhu, ثُمَّ تَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنَ فَازْدَدْنَا بِهِ إِمَانًا. And then after that, and after learning the fundamentals of faith and the proper creed and belief, then we learn the Quran and we increased in faith by way of that. Then we learn the Quran and we increased in faith by way of that. So in order to benefit from this methodology in refuting falsehood and clarifying the misguided ways of the people of deviation, first a person, he must have a foundation in knowledge. He must have the basic fundamentals of his creed, the creed of at-tawheed first and foremost, and the right of Allah to be worshipped alone with no partners. And then likewise, the obligation of taking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the ultimate role model, not showing preference to the statement of anyone, to the statement or action of anyone that's in opposition to his statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regardless of who they may be, and having these fundamentals, which are keys of knowledge and great benefit and guidance and light. And then from here, a person will be able to move. And if the people of falsehood or doubts or misconceptions or innovation that come, then a person, he will refute them with this verse here. Anything that's contrary to those usul that you have learned with evidence and proof, if they say anything that's contrary to that, then you're able to refute them. Even if they use a verse from the Quran or a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or even some narrations from the Sahaba or the Tabi'in, so on and so forth, if you have these foundations and these fundamentals, especially if you learn them with evidences and proof, like what is found in Surah Thalatha and Al-Qawaid Al-Arba'ah, and likewise Surah Sitta and Kitab Al-Tawheed, these books here are small and brief, and they're full of evidences. They're full of chapters which indicate issues in the religion and creed and methodology specifically, and then from those chapter titles, the evidences that clarify them. The evidences in the Quran and the Sunnah and in the narrations of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that clarify them. So by learning the issue with this evidence, بتعلم المسائل والدلائل, a person, he will become upright. And then any doubt or misconception that is contrary to the haq that he learned, he will be able to repel it in general. He will be able to repel it in general. And it's not required for him to repel it in detail. This is only for the people who are qualified to doubt, to debate with the people of falsehood. But this is something that those who are qualified will engage in whenever it's needed, will be engaged in whenever it's needed. As for the general Muslims and the new students of knowledge and those who have not reached that level or who are not qualified to step into that arena, then what is required for them is to defend themselves and to fortify themselves with this knowledge here. That any doubt that comes to them, they will be able to repel it in this manner. They will be able to repel it in this manner. So the one who learns, for example, the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla to be worshipped alone, and that dua is worship. Then if anyone came later on claiming that you can make dua to a grave, it will be easy for him to repel that, even if he used the verse from the Quran to establish his falsehood, because a person, he has learned that he has learned with evidences any in the Quran, even if it's one of them. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدِ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. هَذِي آيَةٌ مُحْكَمَةٌ. This is very clear. And the masajid are for Allah. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And do not supplicate or invoke anyone along with Allah whatsoever. And there are many verses that have the same meaning, that are just as clear as this verse in this same topic. And likewise, ahadith. الدُّعَاء هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. The hadith which is authentic in at-Tirmidhi, ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. So now that this issue is established, that the ibadah, it must be for the sake of Allah. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. These verses are established in your heart and your creed and your belief. You understand this issue and you understand the proof for it from the book of your Lord and the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anybody who came with anything contrary to that, you will simply repel it like this, like it's nothing. You will know that he's a person of deviation, or he's very ignorant about his religion. He's a person of deviation. في قلبه زيغ ولياذ بلا أو جاهل بدينه أو هو جاهل بدينه. So you will be able to repel that doubt. It will not affect you. It will not affect you. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that he learned a great benefit from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah with regards to the shubuhat, that you make your heart like a mirror and not like a sponge. You make your heart like a mirror, not like a sponge. So a sponge is going to soak up everything that comes its way. So with regards to these doubts and misconceptions, or that which is unclear in the religion, a person, he will not soak it up in his heart and let it enter. Because the shubuhat, if they enter a person's heart, many times it's difficult to get them out. Sometimes they will grow and become stronger, like a cancer, and destroy a person and cause him to have doubts in that which he was certain about before. And cause him to have doubts of that which he was certain about before. So you don't make your heart like a sponge with regards to these affairs, with regards to these doubts or misconceptions, or the statements of the innovators, or those who are unclear, or those who are doubtful, or those who you do not know their true reality. Are they good or not? Are they upright or not? Are they from Ahlus Sunnah or not? Are they reliable or not? You don't open your heart for them and make it like a sponge. Rather, if you're tried with some of that knowledge coming to you while you're not looking for it, then you make your heart like a mirror. Like a mirror. Because a mirror, what does it do? It reflects that which is in front of you. It reflects that which is in front of it. And likewise, by way of it, you are able to identify the falsehood, able to identify the blemishes or the mistakes or the lies like this, the blemishes and the faults, the blemishes and the faults. So then a person, he will make his heart in this manner. So whenever he sees anything that's contrary to the clear truth that he knows, then he will repel it and not show any concern for it, and he will leave it and he will keep moving. This is a great benefit. This is the methodology of those who are firmly grounded in knowledge. This is the methodology of Ahlus Sunnah, that they refer these unclear verses in any issue in the religion. They refer that which is unclear from the text back to that which is clear in that same topic. So if we talk about ibadah, this is the methodology. If you talk about khuruj on the rulers, this is the methodology. If you talk about takfir, this is the methodology. If you learn the proper creed and belief and the understanding of the Salaf al-Saleh. How did they understand the religion? What was their creed and belief? What was their methodology and way? How did they believe, and how did they move with their belief? Once you learn this, now anything that's contrary to that, you're able to repel it and be safe from it in general in this manner. So to summarize that which has preceded with regards to understanding this noble verse And this hadith and narration, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned about this affair, if you see the likes of these people, then you must beware of them and be cautious from them. So this is a clarification on how to deal with doubts and misconceptions, and a clarification on how to refute the people of falsehood, and likewise to identify them, and likewise to identify them in their way, to identify them in their way, the way of the people of deviation. So first, one must realize and know with certainty, like Allah, He mentioned in this noble verse, that in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the Islamic text in general, likewise, there are texts that are very clear. There are texts that are very clear, and they're direct to their meaning, and the religion is established here. The creed and methodology specifically. The creed and methodology specifically is established from these clear texts, al-ayat al-muhkamat. What a hadith al-wadiha al-dilala, the clear text in the Quran, the clear verses that are direct in their meaning, and likewise the clear narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that established the fundamentals of the deen. Hunna umul kitab. These texts here, they're the fundamentals of the book. The fundamentals of the book, meaning anything else that could be unclear or not direct, are referred back to these because they're the fundamentals of the book. This is what our Lord is telling us. Subhana. Hunna umul kitab. Hunna umul kitab. So likewise, for example, the issue of ibadah. Ibadah, worship, is the right of Allah. It must be directed into Allah entirely. And to direct any aspect of worship to other than Allah is considered shirk. And it occurs in a major and a minor manner. And there are great details with this and clear verses and hadith that clarify that. And likewise, as well, dua is from the aspects of ibadah. And likewise, dhabh and slaughtering. And the likes like this, any of these, and making oaths, so on and so forth. All of these are actions of worship. So this is something that is very clear. Verses and hadith that clarify these issues in detail. Likewise, the fact that the mushrikun, they affirm the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal. So many verses. Time after time, Allah, He mentions them. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتُهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَسَخَّرَ وَمَنْ نَزَّلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. Verses like this. And what would the mushrikun say? لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. So many verses clarifying that the pagans in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they believed in Allah and they believed in His Lordship. And they believed in His Lordship. And that they did not enter into al-Islam, and that their aspect of disbelief was from associating partners with Allah in worship, not in Lordship. These affairs are established clearly in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, the reality of their shirk and the reason why they committed shirk was because of taking intercessors with Allah Azza wa Jal. This is just for example, and to refute the greatest doubts, which is the doubts that are related to Tawheed al-Ibadah, the greatest doubts and the most severe doubts. Any other clear verses establishing these points here, clear verses clarifying. Likewise, the only reason that they would take their intercessors is in order to draw them near to Allah. So they claimed. So this is the methodology of the kufar of Quraysh in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are examples. These are examples of clear verses. So once a person, he realizes these issues in detail, the people who try to misinterpret these affairs or bring doubts with regards to that, he will not bother him. He will simply see that this person is a person of falsehood, that this person is a person of deviation. He is a person who has deviation in his heart, and he's ignorant of his religion, and he's speaking about Allah without knowledge, and he's a person of fitna. So therefore, what do? You do like your Prophet has advised you, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you take precaution from him. You don't listen to him, and you don't sit with him, and you don't gather with him, and you don't take knowledge from him and those whom he's along with, and those whom he's along with. So after we realize this affair, likewise, we have to realize as well that, as Allah, He mentioned, there are other texts, there are other verses, likewise narrations, that are unclear, meaning they carry more than one meaning. And likewise, we must realize that there are individuals who seek to cause fitna and delusion and confusion by using these verses and using these texts. By using these verses and using this. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. Allah is telling us that there are people who have zayg in their heart, people who are deviant, people who are misguided, and they have corrupt intentions. ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ. They're looking after fitna. They're looking after trials. They want to cause confusion. They want to cause doubts. They want to misuse you. They want to abuse you. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah is telling us this in these verses here. So we must be aware that there are individuals that will go to these texts here that are unclear or carry more than one meaning, and they'll attempt to establish falsehood by way of them.
So this is a warning for us from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and likewise of His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that we take precaution from them and we're not tried by them. So we can identify them by knowing their methodology and the way they understand the text of Al-Islam, and they use them as evidences. They use them in a false manner. And from the head of that is to neglect the clear verses and to use the unclear verses as proofs in contradiction to the meanings of those clear and direct verses. Those clear and direct verses. So also one must realize and have certainty that as for the authentic text of the Quran and the Sunnah, then there is no contradiction whatsoever. There's no contradiction whatsoever. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Had the Quran, had the revelation been from other than Allah, you would find much contradiction. So there's no contradiction in the clear text. There's no contradiction in the clear text. So these verses that are unclear or carry more than one meanings, carry more than one meaning from the meanings that it carries is the one that's in accordance with the clear verses. So if we carry them on the other meanings, now it appears that the verses contradict each other. Now it will appear that the verses contradict each other, or that the narrations contradict the hadith. So the statements of Allah Azza wa Jalla do not contradict each other. And the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never made a statement that contradicts the Quran, whether it's the clarification, detailed clarification, exposition that has come in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we must understand them all in the same light. And this is also from the beautiful methodology of Ahl Sunnah, that they deal with the text all as one text, that they deal with all of the text as one text in a particular issue. In creed and belief, or in tawheed, or in methodology, we deal with the khawarij, or in ibadah, or in tahara, any action of worship, or any issue in the religion, they don't look at one verse or one hadith. Rather, they look at all of the verses and a hadith on that topic, and they understand them all in the same light. In this manner, the pure truth is achieved. If a person were to neglect this affair and to only look at one aspect over the other, he will be misguided and he will go away. He will go astray. He'll be misguided and he'll go astray. So we would realize this affair and know that there will never come the order for tawheed, and then after that the order for shirk. It will never come these clear verses in this manner for the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then after that come verses or narrations where shirk is established. This is contrary and contradiction. This is contrary and contradiction. This is contrary and contradiction. So once you have no doubt about this, so anytime somebody tries to make it seem like that, we will know that that's falsehood and that that person has zayg in his heart and he's upon a deviant way. And he's upon a deviant way. فَحْذَرُوهُ. So you'll be cautious from him. And also you should know as well, بَرَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ وَلَيْسَ بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. What is after the truth except for falsehood? So anytime you learn the truth, and this is the benefit here, going back to the narration of Jundub, to learn the truth, to learn the iman, to learn the creed, to learn the methodology, to learn the fundamentals of faith and the fundamentals of al-Islam and the pillars of the deen and the likes like this. This is the haqq, alhamdulillah, to learn it in the proper manner, from the proper sources, in the correct way. Then anything that's contrary to that is nothing except falsehood. فَمَاذَا بَعْدِ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. And what is after the truth except for misguidance? Meaning there's nothing after the truth except for misguidance. So once you learn the clear truth in these issues, then anything that's contrary to that is falsehood and misguidance. And you don't have to delve into that or worry about how you're going to refute that person and the likes like this. Whether you will do like your Prophet had advised you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will see that he has zayg in his heart and you'll be cautious from him. So you don't start debating with him and arguing with him and the likes like this. You'll say, oh, he's got zayg in his heart. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala, fahdharuhu, be cautious from that person. If you see those people who are going to those unclear verses, trying to establish them and their creed in that manner, then you must realize that these are the ones that Allah is referring to in His book. So you should be cautious from them. And you don't sit with them, you don't listen to them, you don't debate with them, you don't eat with them, you don't walk with them, you definitely don't marry your daughters to them, and you don't get married to their daughters and the likes like this. You avoid them. You have the wala and the bara for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those upon the clear way. And from those upon the clear way, their methodology, the way to identify them and to know them is how they learn and how they teach. And that is that they understand the Quran and the Sunnah and the light of the clear verses and the clear texts. And anything that's unclear, they refer them back to these issues because they are Ummul Kitab. Because they are Ummul Kitab. So this is a most beautiful and beneficial way. And Nawawi, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, fi al-hadithi tahdhirun min mukhalatati ahli al-zayg wa ahli al-bid'ah wa man yattabi'u mushkilati lil-fitna. In this narration here is a warning from mixing with the people of deviation and the people of innovation and those who follow the problematic issues, any of the issues that are unclear, the issues that are unclear or could pose a debate, any seeking to cause trials and tribulations. فَأَمَّا مَنْ سَأَلَ عَمَّا أَشْكَلَ عَلَيْهِ لِلِاسْتِرْشَادِ وَتَلَطَّفَ فِي ذَلِكَ فَلَا بَأْسَ بِهِ. As for the person who asked about an issue that's unclear for him, that asked about an issue that's unclear for him, seeking guidance and direction from the people of knowledge, وَتَلَطَّفَ فِي ذَلِكَ, and he asked it in a subtle and a good manner, indicating that he has a good intention and he's not seeking fitna. And the way that the people ask sometimes indicates that they're seeking fitna. Sometimes a person, he will send a question and is full of doubts. And the way that he's presenting it is as if he has silenced that person. What do you say about this, 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 and this? As if there's no answer for that. As for the people of knowledge, they have answer for that. But the likes of that person, they will not answer them. They will not answer them. Whether they answer them like Imam Malik. As for me, they'll have certainty about my religion. As for you, then you're shak. You're doubting. Then go debate with the people who are doubtful like you. Like you. So he's saying here that as for the one who is asking about these unclear issues, seeking guidance, he needs to know the ruling. He's learning and he needs to know the ruling. He has, it's unclear for him and he's seeking clarity. Then this is okay. Then this is okay, especially if he asks in a good manner and a noble way. فَلَا بَأْسَ بِهِ وَجَوَابُهُ وَاجِبٌ, and it's an obligation to respond to him. أَمَّا الْأَوَّلُ فَلَا يُجَابُ. As for the first one, the one who's seeking fitna, he's not. You don't answer him. بَلْ يُزْجَرُ وَيُعَزَّرُ كَمَا عَزَّرَ عُمَرُ ابْنُ الْخَطَابِ صَبِيغ ابْنَ عِسْلٍ حِينَ كَانَ يَتْبَعُ الْمُتَشَابِهِ. Rather, that person who appears from him, he's asking about these doubtful affairs because he's a person of trial and tribulation. You don't answer him. You don't answer him. Rather, you reprimand him and you discipline him. Just as Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu disciplined Sabiq ibn Isr whenever he was coming around following the Mutashabihat. We read the last narration and we close. And this is what the author is referring to. After this, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَقَالَ عُمَرُ يَهْدِمُ الْإِسْلَامَ زَلَّةِ الْعَالِمِ وَجِدَالَ مُنَافِقٍ بِالْقُرْآنِ وحكم الأئمة المضلين ولما سأل الصبيغ عمر رضي الله عنه عن وذاريات وأشباهها ضربه عمر وقصة مشهورة. And Umar, he said رضي الله عنه, that which would destroy al-Islam is the slip of a scholar and a hypocrite debating with the Quran and the judgment of the misguided leaders. And when Sabir asked Umar رضي الله عنه about by the winds that scatter dust, any of the meaning of this verse and the likes of it, then Umar, he beat him, radiallahu anhu, and the story is well known. So this is a great benefit here. That which will destroy Islam, be a means for the destruction of the deen, the slip of a scholar. So you have to be cautious. The people of knowledge, sometimes they will slip. We don't follow them in their slips. And also, if they're reliable and notable people of knowledge from the people of the Sunnah, also we respect them and honor them, and we find an excuse for them, but we don't follow them in their errors and mistakes. And we must be cautious likewise from the disputes and the debating of the hypocrites. And we have seen the likes of these issues in the previous classes from the narration of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and also to watch out from the judgment of the misguided leaders. The shahid here now is that Umar radiallahu anhu, whenever this man Sabir, he came to him. His name is Sabir ibn Isl. And he was going around and he was asking questions about the Mutashabihat. And he was causing doubts and speculation and the likes. And whenever he came to Al-Madinah, he proceeded upon that way until it became well known that he was going around asking about these unclear verses, causing doubts and misconceptions in the minds of the believers. So Umar, he called for him and he asked him about that. He said, who are you? Man anta? He said, "Ana Abdullah Sabir," and then Umar, he started to beat him, and he with these small sticks from the date tree. And then he said, "Ana Abdullah Umar." He said, "I'm the slave of Allah Sabir," and he said, "Ana, I'm the slave of Allah Umar." And he's beating him and reprimanding him. And whenever he's asking about these doubtful affairs, you're the one asking and causing doubts in the minds of the people. So he reprimanded him, and he beat him until he repented. So the story is well known. Even after that, in the time of Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, an individual came asking questions about the Mutashabihat. time after time, and he would answer him, and then he would ask again, he would answer him. And he, meaning that sometimes these people, they're not satisfied with the clear answer, and they're going to continue with their doubts and misconceptions. And then Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he turned away from him. He said, the example of this person here is the example of Sabigh, the one Umar, he beat him. He beat him until he repented. He beat him until he repented. He's hitting him in his head until he said, Umar, he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, whatever was in my head before is gone. It's finished. I repent. And in this manner like this. So these stories, they're well known. And we summarize them in this manner. And to suffice because of the time. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.